Welcome to the call, John. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, John. Thanks for being on tonight. I'd like to welcome everybody on to this call. We're going to cover Google AdWords tonight, and specifically we're going to cover the proper and best use of Google AdWords. I've got on the line with us tonight John Jonas. John's an expert with AdWords. He's the mastermind behind Keywordtopia and has been doing successful AdWords advertising for how long now, John?
I don't know. It's been a while.
Several years.
Yeah, several years.
In any case, obviously there's been a lot of changes with AdWords recently. Everybody's heard about the Google Slap, and one of the talents John brings to the table is testing and diagnosis of exactly what happens inside of AdWords as well as other parts of the Internet, but specifically with AdWords, what you can do to combat this Google Slap. And so tonight we're going to cover that as opposed to the basic 101 type AdWords information. We're going to assume for the purposes of this call that you know what AdWords is, that you have opened an AdWords account and can wander around and set up a campaign. Once you do that, however, we're going to cover exactly how to best use it so that you can get some real value for your money and make profit in flipping those clicks from a low price per click and turn that into a sale or a lead and earn some good profit. John, why don't you just, by way of background, tell everybody a little bit about what you've been doing with AdWords and maybe some of your products that you've been promoting with that.
I have been selling affiliate products with AdWords and doing lead generation and selling ebooks of my own and promoting some other products that I have. And I have developed, well, for a really long time, I developed tools for myself that I could use. You know, I'm a programmer, and so I developed tools that I could use that didn't exist or I didn't know where they existed. And so I would just put them together myself, and then I would use them for AdWords for me. And I just thought, I don't know, I never thought that, I guess. I always thought other people had those kind of tools too, until I talked to a friend. I talked to a friend of mine one night, and he was saying about how he had put together an AdWords campaign and had put quotes and brackets around all of his keywords by hand. And it was a couple hundred keywords, and his fiance came in and made fun of him for what he was doing. And
something that could be solved with like a simple spreadsheet.
Yeah, even with a spreadsheet. You know, I have a program that I wrote that takes me like 3 seconds to get set up and run and output my keywords so I have them all correct. And
Let's start kind of at the beginning, and again, assuming that everybody is at least cursory familiar with AdWords and that they've been able to set up an account and put an ad up and enter some keywords, beyond the basics, the very, very basics, we obviously want to talk about how to best use AdWords and avoid the slap. Let's start at the beginning and talk about what the slap is and what occurs when you get slapped, and kind of give a description of that and what we're trying to avoid here.
Okay, and just as a precursor to that even, Scott, you're an expert in this too as much as I am, and so I'd like to have as much information from you too tonight. And number two, I'm not going to tell you what an AdWords account is or what a campaign is or what vocabulary is. So to get started, I've taken a couple days putting these notes together that I have, and I've talked to a couple other people who I would consider experts in AdWords who didn't want their names mentioned, but you would recognize their names. And a lot of this comes from, you know, listening to Perry Marshall and other people. So to start off with, the Google Slap comes from recent changes Google made to how they look at your account and how they look at campaigns and keywords, specifically to Google implementing a quality score.
Okay.
Google implemented a quality score, how they look at certain factors of certain parts of your campaigns and they assign what they call a quality score to it, and then they base your performance or your ability to run AdWords on that quality score. So the quality scores affect everything you do, basically. And Google did this because they're interested in providing a good user experience on every single level. So, like, not only at providing a good user experience by providing the best natural search, but they also now want to provide the best pay-per-click results. And they want to make sure that the sites that they're sending people to with those pay-per-click results are the best. They want people to have a good experience on the sites that they're going to. So you can't just send someone, you know, bid on AdWords and send someone to some piece of crap site because
right.
Google doesn't want that, and they're going to slap you for it.
Now, as far as we know, it's the mechanics of how the Google slap or quality score takes place in the first place is both automated through a Google bot that comes by and looks at your site, and then we also know that humans come by and look too.
Right, and that is just part of the quality score because they're looking at your site, and they're also looking at your campaign. So let me go into the two different quality scores that we're interested in. The first quality score determines your position on AdWords. So, like, if you're ranked number one or number two or number three or number four or number eight, whatever. That's one of the quality scores we're interested in. The second quality score determines the amount of money that you have to bid in order to be active in the AdWords auction. And this is called the minimum bid. And this is the slap, basically.
Okay.
So when you're bidding on a keyword and Google decides that the minimum bid, that if you're bidding 10 cents and they decide the minimum bid needs to be 30 cents, that's because your quality score is not good enough, and so they're requiring more. If you have a very good quality score, they may lower your minimum bid, you know, from 10 cents to 3 cents or 7 cents. Or they may, if it's not quite good enough, they may raise it to 15 cents. So that's the second quality score. So here's how these things work. First, the first score is your position on AdWords. And so your position on the result pages of AdWords is relative to other people. And it's determined based on your maximum cost per click that you're bidding, so your bid, your max bid, and your quality score for that particular keyword.
Okay.
Now, the higher your bid, the higher your position on the pages. Also, the higher your quality score, the higher your position. So if you have a really high quality score and a really high bid, you're likely to be ranked very highly. If you have a high bid and a low quality score, depending on the market, you may be ranked in the middle. If you're low and low, you are probably not even going to be allowed to bid. So,
right.
So the way
they'll price you out of the market, in other words, by raising your minimum bids to where...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So the way this quality score works is Google looks at... And the biggest part of this quality score is your click-through rate. Your click-through rate is the biggest factor in determining where you show up on AdWords. And so for the purpose of this quality score, and there are other things that go into it, like the historic performance of that particular keyword on Google and across the Google network, whatever.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do about that one, so we're not even going to deal with it. But in general, the higher your click-through rate, the higher your quality score is for your ranking position. Okay, so... For example, and basically your position is your click-through rate times your bid price,
right.
Relative to other people. So if you have a 1% click-through rate and a $1 bid, and I have a 1% click-through rate and a $1 bid, we're going to be exactly the same. If I have a $1.01 bid, I'm going to be ranked one position ahead of you.
Okay.
If you have a $1 bid and a 1% click-through rate, and I have a 0.5% click-through rate, it's going to take me a $2 bid to stay even with you.
Because it basically works out to the total amount of money that Google receives.
That's right.
Because it's based on a click. So the higher click-through rate, the more money they receive because more people click on the ad and they charge more. Makes sense. Okay.
Makes sense. You know, Google's in this for the money now that they're a public company. So let's say you have a $1... let's say you have a $1 bid and a 1% click-through rate. Let's say I have a 2% click-through rate and a 50-cent bid. I'm going to show up in the same place as you. This is where the click-through rate is so important. In a market that bids are $1, if you can get a click-through rate that's twice as good as everyone else, you can pay half as much and still get the same position. So on this scenario, we would have the same position, or our ads would probably switch off. But if I bid 51 cents, I'd show up ahead of you.
Even if I bid a dollar, because my click-through rate's half as much as yours.
Your click-through rate's half as much. If mine's 2%, yours is 1%, so I'm going to get my clicks for half as much. That's a big deal. You know, and if you can get your click-through rate much better than other people, you're gonna do a lot better. You're gonna pay a lot less. Okay, and this is for real. You know, I've had markets before where the click through rate was between 2 and 250, and after a lot of work, I was able to get onto the first page of Google, position around position 6 or 7, for about 50 cents. You know, with lots of work on the ad, and that one took lots of work. And in general, it doesn't necessarily take lots of work, but I got the click through rate up to the point where I was able to lower my bid and get it onto the front page.
Okay.
And I was paying a lot less than everyone else. So that's one of the quality scores.
No, we're talking about, in this case, the quality score that affects your position of how high you rank or where your ad appears.
That's right.
And you mentioned historic performance, which nobody can do anything about. That's just their experience with that keyword if you happen to bid on it.
Right.
As listed as, I think, they're number one in what they're concerned with. But there's two other factors that you'd mentioned were more important than click-through rate even for
okay,
the quality score.
Okay, this is the other quality score then. Let's talk about the other quality score. The other, because for the positioning, the only thing that really matters is your click-through rate. As far
okay.
as I can tell, Google doesn't really tell you, but, you know, they have hinted to it, and you can test stuff, but the really big deal is your click-through rate. The other quality score determines your minimum bid, or what Google requires you to bid in order to stay in the AdWords auction.
To show your ad at all. Okay.
To show your ad at all. And the number one reason here that Google has said is the historic performance of a keyword. We can't do anything about that, so let's skip it. The number two reason is how well your ad matches your keyword. So for any given keyword that you have, the text of that keyword needs to be in your ad, because this is the biggest controlling factor that you can have on how high or how low your minimum bid is going to be. So
okay.
Let's say we're bidding on cell phones, and our ad says, "Want to talk with your friends? We have great phones. They're really cheap too." Your keyword text is not in that ad. It doesn't say cell phones in it. And so you're probably going to get slapped.
Right. It's too general.
Too general.
Well, this goes back to a conversation we had a couple of days ago, John. I know that the old school way of dealing with AdWords was to come up with the largest keyword list you could find, slap it up in one ad group with one text ad that had 2,000 keywords, and then go in a few days and take the ones out that didn't perform well.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, in the old days. And obviously that wasn't good for click-through ratios because the text ad had to be very generic to match 2,000 keywords.
Yeah.
Or it was completely irrelevant to the visitor.
Yeah.
So tell everybody now, since that no longer works, we do the opposite, which is, what do we do now?
Well, now, in order to make sure that your ad text matches your keyword, you need to have very small ad groups with very few keywords. And I'm gonna go into this a little bit later. I want to go into this a little bit later when I talk about groups and stuff. But
okay.
In general, well, you know what? We can go into it now. That's fine. Your ad groups need to be very tight. To the point where the keywords that you have are all very, very related. So, like today, I was going through an ad group, one of the first ad groups I set up a long time ago, and I had never gotten back to it, and it got a mini slap, and I'll talk about a mini slap in a minute, but it got a mini slap a couple days ago, and so I went through and I had an ad group that had 40 or 50 keywords in it.
Okay.
And I took that and I set up four different ad groups from that one. And I think two of the ad groups had three keywords in them. Two of them had, like, I don't remember exactly, 10 or 8. And then, you know, the rest of them stayed in the original group. The point is, each of those ad groups that I was setting up after that were very, very specific, and I could write an ad that was very specific to that keyword. Okay, and there's a psychology behind why you want to do that, but for right now, Google says you have to, and that's why.
Okay, and then just to clarify, you've got those 40 keywords, and we're talking about breaking those up into four different ad groups with text ad that match the keywords. We're not just taking those keywords and arbitrarily splitting them up into four so they have 10 each. We're looking for words that match each other within those 40.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, I'm going to use cell phones a lot tonight as an example. And no, I'm not running cell phone campaigns, but
which is why we can talk about that.
Yeah, that's rule number two. Don't ever talk about what you're doing, because the second you do, somebody will copy you. I guarantee it. So, cell phones. If you have an ad group that is all about Motorola phones, you should probably break that up into Motorola Razr and Motorola whatever else. You know,
okay.
Each individual model of Motorola phones, and depending on how many searches they're getting, you may want to break it up even further to, like, you may want an ad group that is just pink Motorola Razr, or maybe an ad group that is Motorola Razr V3. You know, because those may be getting enough searches, and that you may need to have your ad text be that specific. And if your ad text is that specific, you may be able to get a high enough click-through rate, you know, to compete in a competitive market that you otherwise wouldn't be able to.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second. If you're a visitor that comes to the Google search engine, let's say, and they type in Motorola Razr, pink Razr, and they see two different text ads there, and one says cell phones at the greatest price, click here for a special offer, very generic. That ad's going to get clicked on a lot less than the ad that might be below it even, that says pink Motorola Razr warehouse, or something that's that specific is going to get a higher click-through ratio because the user thinks it's more relevant to their own search.
Absolutely.
And so not only does Google like it, but chances are the visitors are going to like it. And it represents more work to set your ad groups up this way with very tight, small list of keywords.
Yeah.
But the results are worth it for those people that put in the extra time and effort.
Yeah, long term, there's no question. Well, I mean, long term, you have to do it. You don't have a choice anymore. Google forces you to do it. But besides them forcing you to do it, the results really are better. You will, you know, by doing, if you have your ads or your keywords in your ad text, you're going to double your click-through rate, basically, versus if you didn't.
Right.
So, okay, so let's see. The third reason, the third factor in the quality score for your minimum bid is, Google says, other factors. Okay?
Probably some nebulous in their terms and conditions page, right?
Right. Thank you, Google. So other factors, and Google has said, and people have talked to ad reps, and they've heard stuff, that these other factors are a combination of things like your landing page, what Google thinks of your landing page, what Google thinks of your ad group as a whole, what Google thinks of your AdWords campaign, and of your entire account. So all of those things go into the other factors. And we're going to talk more about that in just a second, but the fourth thing is your click-through rate. So that's the least important thing in determining what your minimum bid price is. Okay? So two different things here. The quality score for your position on AdWords, click-through rate is the most important thing. The quality score for your minimum bid on AdWords, your click-through rate really doesn't matter. I've had keywords that had a 4% click-through rate across thousands and thousands of impressions that got slapped. You know, Google just really doesn't care for your click-through rate when determining your minimum bid. Okay? Okay, so the other factors. Let's talk about the landing page for a second. Google wants to see that your landing page is relevant to your words, meaning that your landing page and your site as a whole in general should have your keywords on the pages. So if you're bidding on cell phones and you're sending everyone to your homepage, or you're bidding on a Motorola Razr and you're sending that person to your homepage better be about Motorola Razrs, or Google's not going to like it.
Because now your landing page is not relevant to your keyword.
That's right. And so that's not a good user experience, because then the user has to go searching around for the page that they want. If you have if you're bidding on Motorola Razr, you should be sending the person to a page about Motorola Razrs. On top of that, Google wants to see you know, your keywords in the big places on the page, preferably, you know, in the headline, the title, the meta tag, the first paragraph, if you can, you know. And that's not, you know, the most important thing, but it certainly helps if you can put your keywords in those places.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they like to see a normal site. So in the past, there have been, for example, people selling ebooks, it was the one page website. You know, it was just a sales letter and a link to ClickBank, and it still works sometimes, but it doesn't work as well anymore. You need to have other pages on your site. And so if you're just promoting affiliate stuff, if you find that you're getting splapped all the time, it would certainly help to have an About Us page or a privacy policy. Google has specifically said that a privacy policy site and a sitemap, they like to see that on pages. A few other pages you may want to do, let's see, About Us, Contact Us, Frequently Asked Questions are good. Those are all really easy to do that add pages. And then you can have the sitemap link to them. So one of the things that we've done in promoting affiliate stuff is we have one site that we'll test products on, and the homepage of that site has some generic content on it, and it has links to the individual products that we're promoting, and then it links to a sitemap and a privacy policy. And the sitemap links to those individual products that we're promoting. So even though they're not necessarily related to each other, it's all part of a larger site. So that site has multiple pages, and Google doesn't really have a problem with it.
So we've actually gone from, if we look kind of back at the history of the Google cache method, which was basically buy an AdWords ad and send it to an affiliate link directly.
Uh-huh.
It was, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe, I'm not quite sure on the time frame, that Google basically said no more linking directly to an affiliate page.
Right.
Which was, you know, you'd see that all over the place in AdWords. You'd see the whateverproduct.com/AFFID=1000. Then the ad right under it would be AFFID=1001.
Yeah.
So those days went away. And then people started putting the affiliate offers on their one-page landing page. And now you're saying that we need to go one step further than that even and make that landing page part of a large miniature site that's a full-blown site that not only has that offer but standard pages that a website would have and some content.
Yeah, if you can do that. And so, you know, this isn't a hard and fast rule, but we've tested it, and it does help in keeping your minimum bids down. There's no question. So, yeah, and you know, even sometimes you can still link directly to an affiliate site without having your own site, and that still works sometimes, but it kind of depends on what mood the Google computers are in at the time. So,
you never really know.
Yeah, you never really know, and so you need to know how to do both. If you find an affiliate program that's going to be profitable for you, but Google won't let you link to it, you've got to be able to develop something else. So, a quick word about landing page, the last thing I'm going to say about it. So Google determines the quality score of the landing page for the keyword or for the ad group.
Okay.
And so your landing pages are important. They need to have the keywords on them. If you screw this up when you're setting up a campaign, it may take you a couple weeks to get Google to re-update the quality score of your landing page. On the other hand, if you screwed up in the beginning, it may take Google a couple weeks to realize that you screwed up. So it's kind of a game that you can play, and I do it when I'm testing a market. And, you know, of course, again, this depends on the mood of Google servers, but often I won't set up the full-blown site whatever when I'm testing a program that I don't know works. But once I know it works, I'll get it done as quickly as I can so that I don't lose those weeks of Google being slow updating my landing page quality score.
Right, right.
So one thing I have seen to get it to update it faster is, and I've tried this two different ways, and it's worked both and it hasn't worked both ways, but setting up an exact new campaign as the original one that uses the same destination URL, that tends to get Google to update your quality score. So I set up the exact same campaign and I just delete the old one, and Google will usually update it. Or, and this one's less effective, but setting up an exact ad group. So if Google slaps me or whatever, then I'll set up the exact same ad group, the exact same keywords, and the same app, same URLs, and delete the old one. And sometimes that will get Google to do it quick enough. So
okay.
That's just a little tip.
So that basically probably triggers the Google AdWords bot to come by again because there's something new there.
Right.
And it gives you a jump start. Okay.
Yes.
So once you get past testing, you know something works, you want to build a, let's call it a mini site, or at least a small site with several normal pages on it, not just a landing page.
If you're promoting an affiliate product, yes.
Okay.
Or even if you're promoting your own product, you should probably have a couple pages.
Okay.
So another part of the other factors is the ad group. They look at the overall relevance of the keywords in that ad group in relation to the text in your ads and assign a quality score.
Okay.
That will affect your minimum bid.
So really, then, we want to see a keyword come all the way through the process. Somebody sits down, pulls up Google, they type in Motorola Razr or Pink Razr, and we want to see Pink Razr in the text ad. We want that then to follow through, and when they get to the landing page, it has to be about and mention Pink Razrs. There has to be some content and other pages that make sense on a site that Pink Razr phone information would be on.
That's right.
Okay.
They want to see the whole thing come through. So, hold on a second. I got a one-year-old here who's yelling at me. Okay. How about
that's part of the joys of working out of the house.
That's part of the joys of being at home. Yep. Here, go see him. Thank you. Sorry.
No problem.
I close my door and she's pounding on it, yelling, "Dad!"
Hey, it's better than sitting in the cubicle at work, isn't it?
That's very true. Okay, so I think we covered the quality scores.
Okay. Talk about, you'd mentioned before, a Google slap versus a mini slap.
Okay.
Just that you've kind of labeled those as two different ways that they slap us. Tell us about that.
So there's what was originally called the Google slap, and people have since labeled another slap a mini slap, which is the Google slap is when Google raises your bid prices to $1 or $5 or $10. More likely $5 or $10 is what people consider the real Google slap. The mini slap is when they raise your bid prices from like 10 cents to 15 cents or 10 cents to 30 or 40 or 50 cents or from 50 cents to $1. That's a mini slap. So here in my experience, here's some of the reasons why they both happen. The full slap happens for a couple reasons. One, because you are in a competitive market where the bids are much higher than what you're bidding, and Google just won't allow it.
Because they know they can get more for it. Yeah.
They know they can get more for it, and so they say sorry. Another reason it may happen is you link directly to an affiliate program. I've seen it happen numerous times with that. Another reason it may happen is they don't think that the keyword you just entered is related at all to anything. And this, again, is based on the mood of the Google servers. Because today, I was changing a campaign that I had, and I was putting in new keywords, and they were getting the full slap, like $10 for a keyword that was related to my group, but it wasn't as related as it probably should have been. And I was kind of testing this, but I got the full slap. And you know, sometimes it's kind of odd. You don't know why they do it. So I think the full slap less common now than it used to be because Google came out with the mini slap. So.
Yeah, it seems that people talk a lot about the pendulum where Google will make some radical change and they go too far in one direction and then they kind of ease back from that change. And that we saw three rounds of changes since the whole term slap came out. The first one was kind of the overcorrection by Google, and then they lessened up on it a little bit, and then there was one recently that affected the content network versus the search network.
Right. And if you're doing all these things that we're talking about before about, you know, keeping your quality scores good, you're much, much less likely to have a full slap. And we'll talk about how you can avoid mini slaps. So here's when mini slaps happen.
Or well, no, that's not true. Mini slaps happen all the time. They will happen. Anytime Google thinks your quality score isn't good enough, based on your landing page and your ad text versus your keywords and your account, whatever, they're going to mini slap you. So we've tested and tried to come up with a bunch of different ways to counteract the mini slap. And the biggest thing I can tell you right now is to test it. Try different things. Try lots of different things. I'll tell you some of the things that we've done. First, add your keywords to the headline of your ad.
Okay.
That is usually a pretty good one for lowering your minimum bids.
I know you might talk about this later, but there's a couple of ways to add your keyword into your text or your headline.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. You can add it itself, or you can use DKI, dynamic keyword insertion, which we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
You can peel and stick that keyword, which I'll talk about peel and stick later. This is a Perry Marshall term. Basically, it is you take that keyword out of the ad group that it's in, and you create an ad group for itself, and you write an ad for it. And that allows you to, of course, put the headline or put the keyword in the ad text.
And because it's super tight, super relevant, and it's all by itself.
Yes. Now, just today, in the campaign that I was messing with today, I was doing some peel and stick, and you know, I said I got the full Google slap on one keyword. Well, I had set up an ad group, stuck a keyword into it, Google fully slapped it, and then I took other keywords out of another ad group. I stuck it into that group, and Google left them alone and lowered their minimum bid prices from 30 or 40 cents to 10.
Okay, so
I was able to bid 10.
Just to be clear, when you added a brand new keyword, it was affected and the minimum bid price got raised just automatically.
Yep.
But when you took them from somewhere else where they had been raised at around 40 cents and just moved them into a specific ad group, they dropped to 10.
Yeah. Yep. And I did this 11 times today. 11 different ad groups. Every single time was the exact, it was predictable. It was the exact same thing every time. So, I mean, I even to the point where I started putting in garbage keywords when I set up an ad group, because I knew Google was going to slap it. So I was putting in stuff like another dumb keyword, and then Google would slap it, and then I'd go and take my keywords out of the other ad groups, stick them into that group, and Google was fine with it. And I'd leave them alone, and then I'd go delete another dumb keyword. And that
so
keyword
Google only used
great.
That keyword just to trigger the reaction from Google, and then you slid some other ones in there that were specific to that text ad.
Basically.
And the bid got lowered.
And they were fine, yeah. And these were ones that had been slapped, mini slapped. And so peel and stick is a very effective way of lowering your minimum bids. So, and I'll go into what peel and stick is right now. Perry Marshall coined this term. Basically, it's what I said. You take a keyword out of one group and stick it into another group just for that group. And you used to not be able to do this with Google, but Google has since created a really good tool. If you click on Tools and then Move or Copy or Move Keywords, I think is the link, it allows you to search for keywords and then move them or copy them to a new ad group. And you can also move or copy ads, which is really nice, although I don't do that very much. But it basically lets you take the keywords out of one group, stick them into another group, and you can search for them. Google will search for them for you, so you don't have to find them all, write them all down, delete them all, go to another group, type them all in, and then...
Right.
So it's a really easy way of moving them. So you can do that. You can either do the peel and stick once you've been slapped, or if you know something is correct and you're adding all your keywords in the beginning, you can do it before you set up your campaigns. But, you know, after you build your keyword list or whatever, you can either do it by hand. You can peel and stick your keywords. You know a certain keyword is going to get a lot of clicks. It needs to be in its own ad group or with a couple other keywords. Take them and stick them into its own text list and create an ad group for that. Or you can use a tool that'll do it for you. And I don't know where the other ones are because I've had my own tool. I stuck my peel and sticker into keywordtopia.com. So it's in there, and it's pretty simple. You stick in a search word, and it'll take all the words that have that search word in it out of the original list and stick it into another list for you. So you can stick it into AdWords.
Let's back up for a second on Peel and Stick and talk about the two reasons, the new reason, but the original reason to Peel and Stick was, let's say you had that keyword list of 40 keywords again.
Uh-huh.
And there'd be maybe five of those 40 keywords that had really performed well.
Yep.
And that were closely related. It made sense to peel those away from that ad group and put them in their own, in the old days, for a click-through ratio.
Yep.
Because in the old days, click-through ratio was the biggest determining factor of ad position other than your bid. And if you had good click-through ratio of five of those 40 words, it's like the rest of those 40 words would drag down the click-through ratio of the five good ones. So you take the good ones out and put it in its own ad group for click-through ratio reasons. Well, today we're talking about doing the same technique, but to avoid the Google slap or to get your minimum bid lowered. Because now what you're doing with those 5 out of 40 keywords, it's not necessarily because they got the best click-through ratio. Now we're looking at those are very tightly related to each other, but not as related to the other part of the 40. And we put them separately with a text ad that's relevant to just those 5, and now the quality score goes up.
And even for the click-through rate, you know, for what, that's a good point what you brought up. It even makes sense to still do this for a click-through rate on some type. You know, maybe those 5 of the 40 are the ones that are bringing in 90% of the traffic.
Right.
Each of those warrant their own ad group so that you can get a higher click-through rate with those 5. So maybe they get put into their own ad groups. You create 5 new ad groups for each of those individual keywords, you know, so that your click-through rate's super high.
Okay. That
so,
makes sense.
I mean, that's still...
You get a double benefit of doing it right.
Absolutely. Still very valuable. So, okay, that's Peel and Stick. Okay, another one, and I mentioned this one earlier, was another way to round this is to delete the ad group and set up a new one that's exactly the same. And I have seen Google where they'll mini-slap me. I'll go through, take the keyword list, set up an exact duplicate ad group, delete the old one, and the new one is not slapped. It lowers my bid prices again. It's retarded. However,
don't expect any rule at Google to be consistent.
No, and this doesn't work all the time. I've seen it maybe 20-30% of the time this works. You know, but it lowers your bids. You know, whatever. You know, another thing that we've found to lower your bids sometimes is. Change your ad. Change a word in your ad. Change something. You know, I already said add your keyword to your headline, but change something in the ad. Another way is to improve your landing page, and then you just have to wait. You have to wait for Google to update your landing page quality score.
You did that, you might want to go ahead and delete the ad group and reload it.
Yeah.
Force the Googlebot to come by and take a look at your new landing page with a better quality.
Right, right.
Okay.
Another way is to add negative keywords. I have found that negative keywords some of the time will lower your minimum bid. They also almost always help with your click-through rate. So,
explain what a negative keyword does.
We'll get into that later.
Okay.
So, I have a whole section about negative keywords.
Okay.
Again, none of these things work 100% of the time, but a combination of them will almost always lower your minimum bid price.
Okay.
You know, it depends on the market and the particular situation, but in almost every case that I've done this, some combination of these things, it lowers the minimum bid price, or you know, often it'll lower it to the point where it's below my maximum bid, so I'm not, my ads are being shown again.
Okay.
So.
Let's move on then and talk about, let's talk about keywords a little bit.
Okay.
Next on your list.
Okay. All right. There's been a huge swing in keywords and what they do and how to use them. And keywords basically are. This is how AdWords. Keywords are what drives AdWords. You bid on the wrong keywords and it's going to cost you. It could cost you a ton of money, really quickly, and you won't make anything. You bid on the right keywords or finding the right keywords is like printing your own money. It's amazing how big of a difference keywords make. because some keywords, and they may appear to be exactly the same to you, some of them will convert people and some of them won't.
Yeah, and that the whole basis, obviously, click flipping is testing at the keyword level.
Yeah.
Because we don't know until we know which ones create a sale and which ones don't when you're dealing with third-party products. Obviously, if you had your own product on your own site, you could put tracking and conversion code from Google on there and you would know.
Yeah.
But the whole click flipping process is when, like most of us, we promote other people's products. We want to know what keyword pays and converts to a sale, a lead, whatever.
Right.
So, obviously, yeah, that's what we're all about on the click flipping side.
Yeah, huge deal. And I don't know if you found this to be about right, but I've seen, you know, like maybe as high as 80 to 90% of your keywords in any given campaign will never convert something.
Right, they're total losers. And what my past experience and what I found with everybody I talked to, they had the same experience, especially when they first started with AdWords. Let's go back to that 40 keywords. They'd come up with a keyword list of 40 that they thought were ultimately relevant and the best possible keywords, lots of traffic, probably convert because it sounded to them like the customer would look for that keyword and it would be a natural. And then they put up that list of 40 and lose incredible amounts of money. But they don't know why because they haven't tested at the keyword level, so they just look at that campaign and say, it's a loser, I can't make money with this, and they delete it. When really underneath what was happening is of those 40 keywords, there were four or five keywords that were getting huge amounts of clicks but never converted. So their budget went to bad keywords, and if all they did was pare those bad keywords out of the list and delete them, all of a sudden the remaining ones converted at profit.
Okay, so let me tell you what when this happened to me. This is my own product that I was selling, and I was getting click fraud because I had gotten so many clicks on one of my things and I didn't get any conversions and I looked into it and I talked to Google about it and they said they didn't think it was, and so I let it go. And this is my own product, and I tested it and I was pretty sure I could sell it, but I had only sold one book in 2 weeks.
It was an ebook, right?
It was an ebook.
Okay.
And so I went back and looked at those keywords, and I saw, you know, like 80% of my clicks are coming from this one ad group, and they are not converting. So I got rid of that ad group, and the next day I made a sale. and my budget still got spent the next day, but none of it was spent on those words that weren't converting at all. The whole group wasn't converting. It was a bad group.
Right.
So the next day I looked at it again and I noticed there was another group that was getting, you know, an unbelievable amount of keywords that was, or clicks that wasn't converting. I got rid of that entire group. From then on, I started selling one book a day. Every single day.
Yeah, here's why that would happen. If we look at what goes on there, let's say that those first two groups that weren't getting in conversions, they were probably eating up most of your clicks and your click budget.
They were getting like 95% of the clicks every day.
Yeah, if there's keywords in there that soak up your budget, they're the high volume keywords, meaning most people or tons of people search for a generic word maybe, click on the link but don't convert, that eats up your $50 a day budget, let's say. And then the words that would convert never get a chance to be shown because the more popular words that don't convert sucked up all your money.
Yep.
And so there could be acres of diamonds in there, but you can't find them because these cash cows, you know, keep getting clicked on. And the minute you take those out, now you're still going to spend $50, but it's showing all the rest of those keywords that don't get the volume but do convert.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you may not – yeah, okay, there's two lessons there, I think. Sometimes you may not – you may not get the full amount of clicks. You may not spend your $50, depending on the market. But if you don't, good. You know.
After you take out the ones that are
after
poorly
you've
performing,
taken out
and soak up all your money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because now you're not spending money on garbage.
Yeah. Now you're spending $25 a day, but you're selling one book a day, compared to $50 and zero sales.
Right. Well, the other lesson is, you know, those other keywords that. You don't see any clicks because they're getting all eaten up by the super popular search terms that aren't converting. There may be plenty of those searches to eat up your budget. You know, there might be more than enough of them. You just have to give those keywords a chance to get searched and shown.
Right.
So, Those are the two lessons with that. Hold on a second.
Sure.
I got another one here.
Okay, hold on a second.
We're recording this call at bedtime, as you can tell.
Yeah, he wants duct tape to fix a baseball bat. This
hey,
is my 4-year-old.
Logical to me.
All right, go find your mom, please. Okay, so...
So would that be a place where you might want to use a negative keyword?
Yeah, absolutely, and I did. One of those, or actually both of those things, had specific words that people kept searching for. And I added some of the actual keywords themselves to my negative keyword list, but I added the generic words that were in those groups that I knew I didn't want people clicking on as negative keywords. And so now I don't get those low quality people clicking on my ads because my ads aren't being shown to those people anymore.
Okay,
so,
makes sense.
Okay, so next thing with keywords, you do not want generic keywords. You don't want to bid on generic keywords. People have a pattern for buying stuff online. They start generic. They're going to do some research, and this is the great thing about the internet. You know, you can do research immediately, but you start by searching for cell phones. You want a new cell phone. You start searching for cell phones, and you find tons of stuff on cell phones. Then you realize, oh, I want a thin cell phone. You know, that's important. So then you search thin cell phone, and you find there are 4 different ones. Then you realize, oh, I really like the Motorola Razr. It's really cute. So at this point, you're almost ready to buy because now you know what you're looking for. But you probably want a little bit more research. So now you search for Motorola Razr. And then you find out, oh, there's lots of different colors and there's a couple different models of Motorola Razrs or whatever. So now I know I want a pink Motorola Razr V3. Now I'm ready to buy.
Yeah, you've pretty much narrowed everything else out.
Yeah, you've gotten rid of anyone searching for pink Motorola Razr V3. You know, there's a pretty good chance that that person's ready to buy something. You know.
Now, it might be good to mention here because this is, again, a rookie move that I made that a lot of people make. They go in and they do some keyword research and find out that they could bid on the term cell phone and be on the first page for maybe $1 or less. And they're like, well, yeah, look at all the searches it's going to get.
Yeah.
And so they bid on that. They go, well, hey, I can get to position number 2 or 3 for $1.50.
Great.
And they wake up the next morning with an AdWords hangover, been charged $500 because, you know, they're blown through their budget and hadn't made a sale.
I did that with headaches. I have tools that'll tell me what is searched a lot and has low bid prices. And so I found headaches, and that looked like a really good one. And I just set up an ask campaign to see if people were willing to ask me a question about headaches. You know, and I realized I could get onto the front page of Google with a 10-cent bid on the keyword headache, just search, you know, 100,000 times a month. And I couldn't convert 1% of the people to ask me a question. You know, which if I'm not converting 1% of the people to ask me a question, they don't have to give me their email. They don't have to do anything. Just ask me a question about it. There's no way I'm going to convert 1% of people to buy something when they're searching for the word headache.
So you know? The lesson is not only beware of generic keywords because they don't convert to sales well, but because the buyer's not in the mindset of filling out a lead form or buying a product at that point yet.
Yeah, no.
But it'll also soak you for all your money in AdWords very quickly.
Yeah. So keywords that you're interested in then are 2 to 5 phrases, 2 to 5 words in the phrase.
Never over 5, right? I think 5 is the limit.
5 is probably a limit.
There's something to do if you go over 5. It's not a good idea.
It's
too long tail.
Yeah. In AdWords, it's not a very good idea. Those keywords are usually going to be cheaper because less people are bidding on them because most people who do AdWords are morons. People are much more ready to buy when they're searching for, you know, they're searching for BlackBerry 7105T instead of cell phone or even instead of BlackBerry. You know, that person's ready to buy. So that's what you're looking for keywords. So... Okay, let's talk about 2 things that people do wrong. And you mentioned one of these. Too many keywords. I had someone emailed me a couple of weeks ago saying, I found 7,000 keywords. I split them up into five. No, I found 5,000 keywords. I split them up into seven different ad groups. It was like 1,800 keywords each or something like that. And Google slapped me. What do I do? And I was like, well, yeah, Google slapped you. They had split them up into 1,800 keywords each because the maximum that Google will allow is 2,000 keywords in an ad group, and so they split them up.
Well, in that person's defense, it wasn't even a year ago that people were teaching that that's the way to do AdWords.
Yeah, they absolutely.
It's the throw it against the wall and see what sticks method, and that we know will not ever work again.
No, it used to work, but not anymore. It may work with Yahoo when Yahoo... I haven't tested the new Yahoo thing yet. I upgraded my account recently, but I haven't tested it. It may work with Yahoo. We'll see. But it's you don't want to do it. You need to keep your ad groups very tight. Keywords are very related to each other so that you can write good ads, have your keywords in the ad headlines, and in the ad body if you can. The second thing you don't want to do is don't just bid on 10 or 20 keywords. Everyone else bid on those keywords because they're the most obvious. 10 or 20 keywords are, you're going to bid on cell phone and you're going to bid on Motorola cell phone and you're going to bid on small cell phone or light cell phone, and everyone else in the world already bid on that keyword. So the competition is high and they're bad words anyways. And now they're not bad words to bid on all the time, low conversion words, but often they are.
Right.
Or there's something that's better if you're getting more. You need to be finding, at least, if you're promoting a product and you know it's going to work, you need to be finding at least a couple hundred keywords. And, depending on the market, maybe more, maybe there aren't that many keywords for that market, but chances are there are. Almost every market, there are more keywords than you would think of, and using a keyword research tool will... Not always will give you the stuff, but it'll at least get you on your way and help you kind of think outside the box to find those other keywords.
Because it drills down below the obvious.
Drills down, and often keyword research tools, or some of the keyword research tools, will give you lateral keyword stuff that is related. For example, car insurance. If you're going to promote car insurance, a keyword tool may tell you auto insurance. It may tell you automobile insurance. It may tell you classic car insurance. It may
Which,
tell you,
by the way, is a very, very bargain car insurance keyword that does not convert, but it's a niche keyword and it's cheap.
Classic car insurance?
Yeah, if you had just a classic car insurance offer to put up, you could make a fortune, but there is no such animal.
Right.
But that's a campaign I know specifically where I found that particular niche, and it was profitable as far as getting the keyword to convert and click-through ratio, but it wouldn't convert to car insurance
to leads, yeah.
Leads at all.
But, car insurance or auto, or how about motor insurance or woman insurance or driver insurance or teenager insurance? There are a ton of lateral keywords that a lot of people don't search for. And I'll tell you, because I've spent a lot of time in the car insurance industry online, there are probably 200 different ways that people misspell the word Geico.
Right.
And that Geico car insurance, which obviously Geico doesn't work. Geico are the ones that sued Google over the trademark stuff. But there are other things in that industry that you don't think about. And I didn't think about for a year and a half. Different ways, different things related to car insurance that people search for that maybe you wouldn't have searched for, but people aren't you.
Well, one of the things I found is that people can come up with the strangest ways to find something. When they sit down at Google and they enter in a search term, there's the search terms that Google suggests, and there's keyword tools that suggest whatever, and they can drill down and get lateral keywords. But there's some crazy stuff that people type in, and I can tell you, if you find that crazy stuff, you're the only advertiser for it most of the time, and
yeah.
It might only get 10 hits a month, but it might convert 2 times out of 10,
yeah.
And you might do it for 5 cents.
Yeah.
And there are actually tools that will allow you to track the crazy stuff that people type in when they end up on your landing page. If your ad got triggered by part of what was in that crazy sentence, you can actually record and track and then bid on those extra keywords that you would never have thought of by taking the real-life example that somebody used when they found your site.
Right.
And I've seen those lists in a couple different things we've used, John, and it's just nuts what people type in sometimes.
It is unbelievable. I have a list of over 5,000 keywords for car insurance that people typed into the search engine and came to my site. 5,000 different searches that ended up on my site.
And
you know,
all looking for close to the same exact thing.
It's unbelievable.
So finding the big lesson there is however you find them, or a combination of ways, find the keywords that are not the 10 or 20 most obvious.
Right.
And I'll tell you one other thing we found in the whole concept of click flipping. I talk about the food chain and how there's whales out there. There's companies that you might be trying to promote an affiliate product for. Let's say in this case it would be Geico. I don't know if they have an affiliate program. But I know this, that if I'm going to bid against Geico at their own game, and they're going to pay me an affiliate commission if I make a sale or a lead, they can afford to bid a lot more than I can because they're only going to pay me an affiliate commission where they make all the money when they get a customer. And
right.
So if the affiliate commission to me is 50% of what they make, they can bid twice as much as me and still be profitable. So I can't outbid the whales. And big companies have the, I guess, advantage, whether it's correct or not, of wasting money. They can afford to be sloppier with their keyword research. They can afford to bid on those more obvious terms because they make more profit than we do as affiliates. So if you own your own product, again, you can be a little more forgiving on your keywords. But the point is, not only avoid those big ones because you're gonna find terms that are too generic that don't convert well, even if you found one, like even if the word car insurance or cell phone converted, the big boys are going to price you out of the market. So you have to find the niches that they miss because they can afford to be sloppy and we can't.
Right. And it's not as complicated as what we're talking about here, you know, finding 5,000 keywords or even finding 200 different misspellings of Geico. You know, and I'll tell you right now that 200 different misspellings of Geico aren't super profitable. They're profitable, but they're not very profitable. Not worth the time to go out and research them. but finding lateral keywords is important. You know, and the car insurance versus auto insurance is an example. Although that's one you would think of, but find lateral keywords. That's enough said about that.
Okay.
In finding keywords, you should probably try and find common misspellings. You don't need everything. You know, 200 Geico misspellings are more than enough. But, a couple different common misspellings of something is usually going to help. Google doesn't really like misspellings a lot, but they'll tolerate it. And so that's why they suggest to you the correct spelling of something when you misspell it on Google. But if you can find a couple different misspellings that are common, you can get a lot of good traffic from it sometimes. So look for misspellings. Another thing about keywords is singular versus plural makes a difference on Google.
Okay.
Yahoo, at least up till now, hasn't differentiated between singular and plural. Overture doesn't differentiate. And the Overture tool, the Overture keyword tool, does not differentiate between singular and plural. So if someone's searching for cell phones and they're also searching for cell phone, Overture is just going to tell you whichever one is more popular. And they're going to leave the other one out.
And what's kind of crazy is that you wouldn't think this would work, but Overture doesn't really pay that close of attention to word order. It could be phones and cell.
They're retarded.
It makes no sense. But occasionally, I'll say that, but occasionally the screwed up way that the Overture bid tool shows those will work on AdWords because nobody in their right mind would bid on phone cell. But somebody out there is going to type it in, I guarantee you. They're going to type it in that order.
Right. Yeah, and that's the biggest reason why I think Overture is the crappiest tool out there for doing keyword, for building a keyword list. For doing
keyword
research,
right. It's almost
keyword research?
Useless.
Well, for research, it's fine. You know, you can very, very quickly do a little bit of research to find how many searches something has done and get an idea of how many lateral searches there are. But if you're going to build a keyword list from Overture, you're wasting your time. So, Google does differentiate between singular and plural. You probably need to have it. You need to test which one converts and which one doesn't, or if they both do or if they both don't, because sometimes that'll make a difference.
We've got about 10 or 15 minutes. Why don't we move into some of the stuff on text ads and how to write those correctly?
Okay. Getting a better ad. You have two goals with an ad. And that is to get a high click-through rate and to get
And then the second goal is to make an ad that helps convert on the back end. So I'm just going to go through this list that I have of things that help get a high click-through rate, and this is by no means an exhaustive or extensive list. These are just some things that you can do that will help your click-through rate, okay?
Okay.
First of all, you need to appeal to the searcher's exact interest, not the generic interest of the industry. We've gone over that already. Group your ads tightly to your keywords. Don't have an ad group that's about pink Motorola Razr, and write the ad group or the AdWords ad about cell phones. Write it about the pink Motorola Razr.
Okay.
Another thing, put the keywords in the title of the ad. Google highlights keywords on the page that people search for. Someone searches for Motorola Razr, and you have Motorola Razr in your ad, they're going to bold those words in your ad, and that will increase your click-through rate. That's a big, big deal, is having your ads having your keywords highlighted. That will get you a higher click-through rate. An example format of an ad that's a pretty good thing to kind of stick to is put the keyword in the and put the benefit on the ad, put a feature on the second line, then put the URL.
Hey, John, I think you might have broken up there a little bit. Can you repeat that last sentence?
Yeah, okay. So an example ad is put the keyword in the headline,
okay,
put a benefit on the first line of the ad, put a feature on the second line, and then put the URL. Don't talk about the product in the ad. Talk about the benefit first, and then the feature second. Perry Marshall always talks about switching the lines, and switching the lines in your ad may make a big difference. He has an example where he switched the lines, and it made a difference of a 3.7% click-through rate and like a 0.6% click-through rate because he put the benefit on the second line and the feature on the first line, and people just weren't interested. So switching lines, another thing that you can test. Ads that talk about information or say that they're going to provide an information solution to something, or they're going to provide discussion about something, or a comparison or a review, very, very often get higher click-through rates.
Because people assume that they're not being sold at that click, they're going to find out more information about exactly what they want.
Right. And they feel less threatened about getting scammed for something or tricked into clicking on something that they don't want. If you can use verbs in your ad instead of adjectives, you'll be much better off. Verbs describe things better, like destroy or slice or hone or buy or sell, will get you higher click-through rates instead of stuff like fast, easy, cheap. Stuff that modify verbs. Okay.
Okay.
You still need to have adjectives, but try to change the verb that's in your ad to get a better click-through rate.
I'd seen an example of this. I think it was actually at Perry Marshall's seminar where somebody was selling an e-book about karate, and their headline was something to the effect of "Crush your competitor's skull." You know, it was words that evoked emotion that were not what you typically see in an AdWords ad, and they had a whole bunch of examples like that. That reading the ad would cause the reader to have some kind of response, whether it was, you know, boy, I got to have that, or that's the strangest thing I've ever seen, or it was just different. And the fact that it stood out because of the words they used got an incredible click-through ratio.
It wasn't learn karate fast.
Right.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. So, okay, here's a bunch of things to test in your ads, and these aren't things that always work, but you need to test them. Put quotes around your headline. Put a question mark at the end of your headline. Try changing the order of the lines in your ad, and I mentioned that one. Try changing one word in your ad, like change fast to speedy or cheap to discount. You'll be surprised at how big of a difference one word will make. Add how-to to your ad in front of some. If you have an ad that says, you know, take better digital pictures, put how-to take better digital pictures. How to use Excel, whatever, you know, that these are. How-to is like a universal,
right.
I want to click on that word. So try capitalizing the words in your ad. Capitalize the important words. Try capitalizing every word, the first letter. You can't capitalize the whole ad. Google won't allow you to. But just try capitalizing different things. Try capitalizing the different words in your URL. So if your URL is
Get Better at AdWords. Capitalize the G, the B, the A, and the A in Get Better at AdWords, and see what that does to your click-through rate.
Yeah, a lot of times it makes that more readable, and it separates the words in a URL that's usually one string of characters.
Right. Test having www and not having www. Test putting a call to action in your ad, at the end of the ad, add now with an exclamation point, or right now, or today, or sign up. Just a call to action that will probably eliminate clickers that aren't interested and will get people who are really interested to click more. Try adding, and this one isn't even a try adding because I know this works, but add a subdirectory or a subdomain to your display URL. So if your product is about cell phones or about the Motorola Razr and your domain is cellphones.com, don't put the display URL as cellphones.com. Put it as cellphones.com/Motorola Razr. Or even better, is MotorolaRazr.cellphones.com. When people see that, they immediately know that this website really is about what I want. And the reason it's better in a subdomain instead of a subdirectory is because it's the first thing on the URL, and people read that first, and that's a big deal. Now, that being said, this deals with the Google Slap. Google considers a subdomain as a new website. So if you're going to put up a subdomain, very often you need to set up the rest of the pages on that subdomain like we talked about earlier, whereas a subdomain or a subdirectory, you know, a folder on a domain, cellphones.com/Motorola Razr, that is the same website as cellphones.com,
okay.
So you're going to get the same benefit of all the pages on cellphones.com. Okay?
Most people would use that method anyway because it's the easiest to deal with
from a programming and
website standpoint. So,
right.
And I'm not sure of this, but there are some words, phrases, and possible trademarks that you cannot use in the text of your ad. But your domain is your domain. So if you had cellphones.com/ I can't use this restricted word here, you possibly could use it
as
a folder name.
And I have done that. I know you can do that because I've done it. Where Google won't allow you to put the word Geico in their headline, but they will allow you to put it in the URL, and that will increase the click-through rate. But that's something you have to test. And if it's not okay with Google, they'll almost tell you.
Right.
Yeah, it won't even allow you to write the ad. So, one last thing about this about ads: a high click-through rate does not equal high conversions. You need to test keywords. If you're getting a 10% click-through rate, it doesn't mean you're selling a lot of product. You need to test your conversions and track your conversions. Okay? So let's talk about testing a little bit. The number one rule with AdWords is test. Okay? There are three things, I think, in this lesson that I'm going to tell you. One of them is testing. One of them is quotes and brackets. The third one is... I don't remember what my third one was. I remember as I went through this that there were three important things. I'll find it. Testing. Number one rule. When you create an ad group, write another ad immediately. Always, always, always have at least two ads running.
Because one's always going to do better than the other one.
Always. One of them's always going to do better than the other one. And you always need to be playing beat your control. The control is your best ad so far. You always need to be trying to beat it. But until you get a click-through rate that, you know, you've tried a lot and you can't beat it again, and then, okay, you're fine. Try all the different things that we already talked about when writing a new ad. Try changing word orders around and whatever. Whenever you find a winner, a good ad, you know, we're going to call it a winner, one that gets a really good click-through rate, you might want to heavily weight that ad in AdWords so that while you're still testing, you get to still maintain that high click-through ad. And you can do this by writing a couple different ads that are exactly like the winner ad, and then write another ad that's totally different or that varies by a little bit. So what you end up having, you have an ad that's getting a 4%, 5%, whatever click-through rate. Write three more ads that are exactly the same as that one, and then write another ad. And what happens is when Google is serving your ads, they're going to serve all those ads about the same, assuming you've told them to rotate ads evenly. which, by the way, you should do that while you're testing. Tell Google to rotate your ads evenly. It's under the campaign settings on a campaign.
Yeah, and you do not want to select their, what, automatic optimizing of...
Yeah, not while you're testing, you don't.
Not while you're testing. So what you're saying is if you had five ads up there, four are identical, and you know they work, the fifth ad is your test ad, it's only going to get shown 20% of the time because it's rotating through all five.
Right, so you know that 80% of the time, you know that you're getting a good click-through rate still.
And you're not messing up a good campaign with your test ad.
Right. Now, you only do this once you've found an ad that you know is a winner. You know.
Right.
Otherwise, you need to be finding something that is a winner. So, that's a little bit about testing ads. There are programs that will help you test ads. But in general, the only thing you need is the Google testing, and they make it so easy to test that.
Yeah, their stats are really good on that part.
You have to do it. That's the biggest thing with AdWords. Okay. Writing ads that help convert people, make sure you're telling the truth. If they feel that they were deceived from the ad, even if you have exactly what they want, they will be ticked off and they won't buy from you. So make sure your ads tell the truth. Another thing that helps convert is make it clear in your ad that you're selling something. Or if you're not selling something, you know, you can tell them that to get a higher click-through rate. But if you're selling something, put buy or buy now or sign up or $49.95 or the price or whatever in the ad. That'll weed out a lot of looky-loos who aren't interested in buying. That, you know, they won't be clicking on your ads.
And let me put one other new piece of information in here that popped up this week. As far as I know, it's brand new this week. You can actually go to an ad on AdWords, click on that ad, go to that site, and if you hit the back button, Google's going to put a little button up there on the original search page that doesn't appear the first time, and it's going to say, was this ad helpful? And you can click on yes or no. They're taking direct feedback from the searcher now. If they don't like your site, the searcher can actually click on the no button that it was not a helpful search. And that goes directly to quality score.
Yeah, that's a big
deal. That's something that is brand new. I just had it happen to me 2 days ago. I was doing a Google search. I'd heard about it, and I hit the back button shortly after going to the site because it wasn't relevant to what I was looking for, and I had a chance to say yes or no, was it relevant? I clicked yes because I want to help other internet marketers out, but most searchers will be clicking no if they're not happy with your website.
And that will definitely affect your quality score. So, one more thing that we've found, if you keep a really clean ad group, like deleting keywords that have zero impressions or deleting keywords that aren't converting or deleting keywords that aren't really related, Google may raise your quality score just by keeping a clean ad group. No guarantees, but you know, it shows that you're a good advertiser and that you care, and you're not just slapping up a bunch of crap because you're an internet marketer. I think Google really doesn't like people who just try and make money online without, you know, necessarily adding value to something. You're just a middleman. Google doesn't really like it. So let's go quickly through negative keywords. Negative keywords will increase your click-through rate. Even though your ad will be shown less, it's a good thing to show your ad less with negative keywords, and you can find negative keywords by looking through your list at words that aren't converting, or putting in the most generic word into a keyword research tool for that thing that you're selling cell phones. Put in cell phones into the keyword research tool and go through the list and find all the words that you think, oh, I wouldn't want someone clicking on and out of mind if they search for that, because I'm not relevant for that. Add those in as negative keywords. You add a negative keyword to your list by putting a minus sign in front of the keyword and just add it to your normal keyword list on its own line.
And this, a good example of this is if you're selling a product that they have to purchase, and that same product in other versions might be available for free. You don't want people looking for the free whatever coming to your site because almost none of them will convert and pay. They're specifically typing in free whatever. And if you take the word free out of that search, it will get rid of those people that are looky-loos.
Yeah, another good one to get rid of is nude or naked, whatever. There's an interesting example. You know, if you look at you know, the most random people, the most random female will get searches for nude. Hillary Clinton. You're writing an ad for Hillary Clinton, she will get searches for, tons of searches for Hillary Clinton nude or whatever. So, you know, if you're a Republican and you don't like her or whatever, make sure you put a negative keyword for that, you know. So negative keywords are very important. They will increase your click-through rate, and I'll tell you an experience I had with it. I had a click-through rate for quite a while of around two ad groups, around 1.8 and 2.5. 1.8 and 2.0. I put in a bunch of negative keywords. I didn't do anything else, and the click-through rate went to 2.5 from 1.8 and 4.5 from 2.0 on the
wow.
two different ad groups. And I'm still hitting my budget.
So you know you were wasting money before.
I was wasting tons of money.
And theoretically, if we could, we would only display our ad once per buyer.
Yeah.
Not once per searcher, but once per buyer. So
yeah.
The more we can weed that out with negative keywords and closer we can get to one click equals one purchase or one lead, the better we are. So that goes a long way into not wasting your budget and allowing, like we talked about earlier, those good keywords to get shown.
Yeah. Okay, the Google Content Network. Content versus search. You probably want to hold off on doing the Content Network initially until you have a good idea that a campaign is going to convert. Unless you're going to monitor the content clicks very closely. And you need to explicitly turn on content clicks by going to campaign settings and edit them and do content clicks. And then you need to set a different bid. And what I'll usually do is I will set a default bid to 10 cents and the content bid to 1 penny. And, you know, this depends on the market, but... make sure you monitor content clicks, because otherwise you bid it to 1 penny. You're going to find that you got 500,000 impressions and a 1% click-through rate, and it took your whole budget on content clicks that were terrible. They were super low quality.
Right. I like to put my content in a completely separate campaign.
Okay.
That's one method of dealing with it. And then you turn off everything except content in that campaign.
Okay.
And you can set a separate daily limit there, and... the stats that you get then will be specific just to the content network.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
I know that there's a way to automatically pass through, you know, where your keyword came from with the tracking, but I like to even separate them further and run only search and search partners and then only content in a separate campaign for the same keywords.
That's interesting. I haven't tried that. I'll have to try that. Content network, what I have found is one of two things. Either the traffic is really bad or it's really good.
Absolutely.
I have two campaigns that I run where the content traffic is better than the search traffic. It converts better than the search traffic does. I have a 1% click-through rate on the content network, which is really high. So you just need to monitor it very closely. And make sure that you know that if it's good traffic or if it's bad traffic. So, okay, some little tricks. Quotes and brackets. This is the second giant thing. And you may already know this. If you don't know this, this will change your AdWords. But I have a good friend that spends probably $10,000 a month on AdWords promoting his business and doesn't know about quotes and brackets.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? So
you're about to save him a bunch of money.
I told him I could double his profitability in about 20 minutes, you know, and I just need to do it with him and help him, but we haven't gotten around to it. But Google has what they call broad match, frick match, and exact match. Broad match is where you put in a keyword by itself, cell phone. And searches for cell phone or phone cell, or I want a good cell mobile phone, and it'll show your ad. As long as it has the word cell and the word phone in it, it'll show your ad.
Okay.
Phrase match is where you put in cell phone as a keyword with quotes around it. That's your keyword, quote, cell phone, quote. And that will only show your ad when it says cell phone in the ad. So it can say, I want a cell phone. That'll show your ad, or cheap cell phone, but not sell cheap phone or not phone sell. It won't show it for that.
So that phrase has to be somewhere in the search term.
It has to be somewhere in Exact match is where you put a square bracket around it, so it's square bracket, cell phone, square bracket. And this means that it has to be that exact search term, only.
Only cell phone. No other words.
Yeah, so it's cheap cell phone, that one won't show up. So what you do is get your keyword list, add, and then run it through a tool. This is what my friend was doing that his fiance made fun of him for. Add quotes and brackets to this, and you can do it in Excel, or you can do it in the keyword tool. Keywordtopia has this tool that I wrote. And this was so funny. He instant messaged me this day telling me he had spent 2 hours doing this, and I was like, you're a moron, man. I have this tool. All you have to do is ask. It'll take you 40 seconds now to do this instead of 2 hours. Stick your keyword list in, and it'll spit out your original keywords and plus the new keywords that have quotes and brackets around them. Paste those into Google. Those are now your keyword list is three times as big as it was before, okay? So and those are each individual keywords. Cell phone, quote, and bracket, cell phone, bracket are individual keywords.
That you can bid separately on.
You can bid separately on them. You can stick them into their own ad groups, although I don't usually do that. I'll usually stick not the minimum, but if I'm peeling and sticking, I'll put those three keywords into one ad group so it has all three of them. Because then I can write an ad specifically for those keywords.
So you're dealing with one phrase, but you're displaying it in three different ways, and that specific text ad is going to work for those three in any kind of matching.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, that will certainly help your click-through rate and your relevancy and whatever, okay? That's the second biggest lesson that most people don't do, AdWords, and you need to be doing it. Okay, so here's another thing. DKI, dynamic keyword insertion. This is where Google will allow you to put in they will put in the search term that the user searched for into your ad for you. So if you put in it, and I'm going to tell you the syntax for this right now, even though it should be written down. It is curly bracket. There's a square bracket next near the enter key, next to the P key on your keyboard. There's a key that has a curly bracket and a square bracket. So this, for doing dynamic keyword insertion, you put curly bracket, keyword, colon, and then you put in a default keyword, and then you put a closed curly bracket.
And by keyword colon, you mean the actual word keyword, K-E-Y-W-R-D.
Keyword, and I always capitalize the K and the W because that will capitalize whatever the first words of the search
keyword
term that they put
right.
in. So if you use this, in your headline you put in curly bracket, capital K-E-Y, capital W-O-R-D, colon, Motorola cell phone, or Motorola Razr, end curly bracket. If someone searches for Motorola Razr V3, the title the headline of your ad is going to say Motorola Razr V3. If someone searches for something, Motorola Razr V3, pink, not blue, I want one right now, then they will use that text that you put in, Motorola Razr. So the default text is what's used if they can't use the text that the searcher used.
And the reason they couldn't is because the searcher could type in 13 words, and that's not going to fit on the headline.
It's not going to fit. You only have 25 characters. So if the searcher's putting in over 25 characters, they're not going to use they're going to use your default text. Okay. There's a caveat with this. It sounds really, really good. And it can be good for determining which keywords need their own ad groups. You use dynamic keyword insertion, and you're going to find which keywords are getting high clicks because those keywords are showing up in the ad. However, when we talked about your click-through rate determining your quality score for your positioning on AdWords,
right?
If you're using dynamic keyword insertion, you're not getting a bonus for that click-through rate. So you're going to have a hard time getting a high quality score.
So it's good for testing, bad for long term.
Yeah, okay. So you're still going to get it if you're going to get the quality score increase for your click through rate when the default text is used. But when it's not used, when it's the searcher's text, then that's not going to help your quality score. Okay. So for testing, it's good. Long term, you need to peel and stick those keywords and write your own ad. And then in those groups, you may want to use dynamic keyword insertion. So if you're peeling it into a group that's Motorola Razr V3 or Pink Motorola Razr V3 in that group, you may want to use dynamic keyword insertion on that group, because most of the time you're only going to get people searching for that and your quality score is going to be good, but you may find other people searching for stuff anyway. So,
Okay,
you can track, okay, before, let's go into positioning. I have three more things to talk about.
Yeah, we need to probably wrap up or we'll get cut off here any minute now.
Okay.
Conference call time, I think we blocked out. It's about to end.
Yeah. Positioning. I had someone tell me a couple weeks ago, I can't make money doing this. I've tried. I have 13 campaigns going, and none of them have made me money. And she said, I know that I'm supposed to be in the number one position, so I bid really high, and I'm getting lots of clicks, but nothing's converting. Or stuff is converting for me. But she said, stuff's converting for me, but I always spend more money than I do than I make. So I wrote her back and said, well, there's your problem. You know, one of these campaigns is likely going to work for you. But position one is not where you want to be. Because usually position one, you're getting click-happy people.
You get everybody you want and some people you don't want.
Most people you don't want, because they're going to click into click.
They're going to see what's under position behind door number one, no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, especially if you're at the top. You know, if you get into one of those top positions, you're going to get clicks no matter what they're looking for. What people have found is that if you're on the right side, somewhere between position 3 and 7 is going to get you good clicks. And, you know, the higher up you are, the more clicks you're going to get. The lower down you are, in general, the higher quality that traffic is. Because that person has already qualified themselves by saying, I have not seen what I want in the natural search results up to this point, and I haven't seen what I want in the paid search results up to this point. So if they're clicking on your ad and you're at 6 or 7, you probably, you know, you have a good chance that you have what they want. Okay? So position is not always best to be number one. It is almost always better to be on the first page than the second page, but again, depending on the market, you know, mortgages, you may be better off on page 2 or 5. Because there's so much traffic for that you're still going to get traffic. And if you're getting clicks on the second or third page, that person is qualified. They have not found what they want. You know, they've gone through a lot of looking to find you. So, there's a caveat with this. If you're in position number one, that could be because you have a super high click-through rate and you're getting your clicks way cheaper than other people, in which case it's probably okay. You may want to lower your bid because you are going to get bad clicks from click happy people. But in general, it's something that needs to be tested. But in general, number one isn't the best. So here's a little trick that lots of people have been using for a long time, which using AdWords to test stuff. To test a domain name. If you want to, you don't know what domain name to buy, or even if you think you do know which domain name to buy, find 3 or 4 different domain names and write an ad and use the exact same ad for that domain with a different display URL to people, and then let people vote on it, because a domain name will make a difference on your click-through rate. The highest click-through rate wins. Buy that domain. And you can do this with anything. You know, you can do this with a business name, or, you know, put it in the headline, or whatever, you know, a slogan or whatever. You know, for $5, you can let everyone else tell you which of your ideas is the best.
Right.
Super powerful, especially when, you know, you're selling your own product, and so you go buy those domain names, which Google wants you to own those domains, so you may only get away with it for a couple days if you don't own them. But if you own them, buy those domains, cost you $15, you know, to buy 2 domains, or you know, $30 to buy a couple domains, that will make a difference on the rest of the lifetime of your click through rate for that product. You know, it's worth it for the improvement that you're going to get. So, last thing I had was you can track what you talked about tracking before with
the difference between search network and content network.
Right.
If you search on Google, because I'm not going to give the syntax for this on the call, it's too complicated, but...
It'll be in the lesson.
All right, we'll have it on the written lesson. You can track differences between content and search with Google. They'll tell you if a click came from content or if a click came from search. So, and that's definitely worth knowing. I do like your idea a lot of putting up different ad groups or different campaigns for that. So
yeah, it just gives you absolute control over content network, which you can, if you go back to the death of AdSense, because we can bid separately on content now, there's no reason to pay very much for those clicks. Even when you're testing, you can get by with just completely bidding those low. But because they're going to have different click-through ratios and all of that affects everything, it's good to have them running in a completely separate campaign. But
yep.
There's an automated way to track that as well if you run them in the same campaign. And I have the exact same experience, John. Mine, I had one campaign where it outperformed by far in conversions as well from the content network. I made a lot more money from content. And then for every one that was like that, there'd be five or six where it was just complete junk traffic.
Right.
That's all I have. I don't know if you know, Scott, I spent a couple of days putting together this list and organizing it and talking to people, interviewing people just to pick their brains on other random things that they can find. This is a lot, and I'll probably go back and listen to this call just to listen to what you said. And
it is a lot of information, but and again, this is more of the finesse of using AdWords, but it's what's going to make the difference in most cases for most people between a profitable campaign and not.
Absolutely.
And it's worth it. It is more time and trouble than it used to be. But if you go through the trouble to split out your ad groups, keep them tight, do everything we talked about on the call, or most of what we talked about, you're going to get rewarded not only with better click-through ratios, better quality score, lower bids, and more profit, where some of the other companies will be more wasteful in their money, it won't be as profitable, or they won't be there at all in the
yep.
long term. They'll burn out.
So, yeah.
Well,
I
appreciate
it,
John, and thanks for the research. I know you put tons of time into this, and this audio will be up on the site as well as the written lesson shortly.
Good.
And until our next call, I thank you for your time. And
sounds good.
You can go, I think, get to your last good nights before the kids go to bed.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, John. Talk
to you
later.
Bye.
Bye.